As an impressionistic adolescent in the post-war years, I spent hours going through Bill Mauldin's book, Up Front, the brilliant collection of his drawings and thoughts on the enlisted men, the officers, army rules, the people they liberated, and the enemy they fought in World War II. He was just 22 years old when his representations of the American fighting men, Willie and Joe, appeared. Infantrymen were called dog faces. And in his work, Mauldin shared with those on the front lines, as well as those at home, the hard truths and dark humor of life at war. As so often is the case with a cartoon, Mauldin gave us the quick laugh and the lingering insight. Recently, I read Up Front again. I was initially pleased by how many of the cartoon captions I could recite from memory. His work leaves a lasting impression. When I began to read the text, I had an even deeper appreciation of Mauldin's boy genius. He put the book together near the end of the war when he was just 23. By then he was a sergeant, having entered the Army from the Arizona National Guard when he was 18. I can't imagine anyone knew the mind, the frustrations, the fears, and the dreams of the average combat infantryman better than Bill Mauldin. As his cartoons reflected the truth of what it was like to be up front, his writing gave us a vision of the future. Here is what Mauldin wrote of the American soldier before the war ended. They are very different now. Don't let anybody tell you they aren't. You can't pay in money for what they have done. They need people telling about them so they will be taken back into their civilian lives and given a chance to be themselves again. There will be some good ones and some bad ones, but the vast majority of combat men are going to be no problem at all. They are so goddamn sick and tired of having their noses rubbed in the stinking war that their only ambition will be to forget it. They don't need pity, because you don't pity brave men, men who are brave because they fight while they are scared to death. Mauldin had it precisely right. He wrote that more than a half century ago, before the men headed home from the front lines, and it is as true today as it was then. They didn't want pity, and they did want to forget. Of course, they could not forget, especially those in combat. When they couldn't erase the war from memory, they simply confined it there, refusing to talk about it unless questioned, and then only reluctantly. That is why it is so important for us to hear these stories now, to know what an exceptional time that was for so many, and how much they sacrificed to give us the world we have today. As for me, I will always keep in my mind's eye a cool, cloudy Memorial Day on the northern plains of South Dakota. I was visiting my father's surviving brother, John, who, after serving in the Navy during World War II, returned to the small town of Bristol, the Brokaw family seat. He stayed a bachelor all those years, working at the bank and in the municipal liquor store. He was a small, quiet man, and on that Memorial Day, he asked me to accompany him to the cemetery south of town, overlooking the broad reach of prairie. He explained that just the year before, he had given up the job of placing small flags on the graves of veterans. He was worried his successor, a veteran of the Korean War, might not know all the graves that deserved to be honored. So as I watched, these two veterans, each clutching a fistful of small American flags, made their way through the town cemetery. It came to me then that this was, in many ways, the essence of the American experience. These two men who had gone off to war in distant places returned to the familiar surroundings of their youth, the small town and farmland where life was often difficult as a result of droughts, blizzards, tornadoes, and wages that reflected the uncertainty of agricultural markets. They came home to continue the lives and the freedom they had gone off to defend. On this day, they were quietly honoring those who had joined them in the calling. I have been witness to historic events at the U.S. Capitol and on the South Lawn of the White House, at Arlington National Cemetery and the Statue of Liberty. None moved me more than the sight of my uncle and his friend, a local farmer, decorating the graves of the hometown veterans on that Memorial Day. The veterans whose graves would be decorated would carry the colors for the others who lay beneath that prairie sod, their families and friends who had helped tame the prairie and settle the communities. Their greatest legacy is in their lives of dedication and service and honor and duty to country. They have heard the speeches They've seen the fireworks. They've marched in the parades. They will have their World War II memorial, but no block of granite, no edifice, however elaborate, can match their individual and collective contributions. As this nation moves into a new century, it has no greater obligation than to honor this generation. We should do no less, and so much more.
This has been a Random House Audiobooks presentation.